Well, I wanted to begin today by telling you just a little bit of the story of the Lion King. Anyone seen the Lion King? Quite a number. That's good, yep. For those that haven't seen it, it's about this little lion cub called Simba. And Simba's the son of the king of the jungle, who's the big lion. And what that means is that one day, he's kind of like the prince of the jungle, I guess, which means that one day, when his dad dies or retires or whatever, lions do, that means that Simba will become the king of the jungle. Anyway, while Simba's still a little cub, his dad takes him up on this big mountain, and they look out over this amazing view, and they can see, all of Africa, and his dad says, "Look, Simba, everything the light touches is our kingdom." And Simba's pretty amazed about all of this, and he sort of looks around. But then he notices that there's this little part that's in shadow. And he says, "Well, what about that shadowy bit?" To which his dad replies, "That is beyond our borders. You must never go there." So, there we have this scenario, okay? We've got the dad has told him that he must never, ever, ever, ever do something. His dad set down this really clear rule. But what do you think Simba does next? Do you think he goes, "Yes, Dad," and makes sure he stays right away from it? No? Oh, so you probably think he goes, "Oh, well, Dad knows best and he's told me not to go there, so look, I'd better really obey him." Yeah? Think he does that? No, he doesn't. He doesn't at all. As soon as he gets the chance, he and his mates go straight into the Shadowlands and they wind up in a whole heap of trouble and his dad has to come and save him, and he's like, "Simba, you deliberately disobeyed me." It's my favourite line in the whole movie, that bit. "You deliberately disobeyed me." And we use that a little bit at home, don't we, sometimes? kids probably relate to that a little bit, can't you? Because I'm sure you find yourself at times doing exactly what Simba does. Sometimes mum or dad says, "You mustn't do that," or "You should do that," and you deliberately disobey them. But I don't just want to pick on the kids, because actually adults can be pretty disobedient too. There's something in us as people that means we disobey. So, you see a sign telling you not to do something and you just kind of want to do it. Do you ever have that experience? The sign says, "Don't climb the tree," and we'll climb the tree. Or there's a sign that says, "Don't walk there," and we just kind of, "Look, I'm walking there." You just want to walk there. If there's a sign saying, "Don't touch something," you want to touch it. If the pool's closed, you want to swim in it. If there's a sign that says you mustn't go past a certain point, you just want to go just there, like that, don't you? Always wanting to push it further. The fact is, people can just be very, very disobedient. But the worst part of all this is that we disobey God. I want to read to you a little passage out of Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And it says this: "For since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him." They disobey. And I might actually just get a volunteer. Does someone want to come up and give me a hand? Yeah, someone, anyone? EJ, do you want to come up? I don't think you've had a volunteer before, have you? It's a bit like... there. See, we're all a bit like this guy. Even though we know, you just got to stand there and be the example, okay? Even though we know that God is the creator of everything, even though we know that he wants the very best for people, even though he wants the very best for this world, even though he totally deserves our obedience, we're like this. We disobey. It's as though we're saying to him, "Look, I don't care what you think, and I don't care what you say, I know better than you do, and I'm going to live life my own way, without you in it. I'm going to do my own thing." And when you're like this, what you're saying is, "I want to be God, make up my own rules, and God you can just keep out of it. It's what happened at the very beginning of the Bible, and some of you in your gospel communities will have actually spent a bit of time looking at this month. People have been doing it from the very beginning. And it's a big problem for us because our disobedience rightly makes God angry. In Ephesians 5 verse 6 it says that God's anger comes on people like this. That's you, yeah. God's anger comes on those who are disobedient. Yeah. You might remember back to the very first time we did our Lord's Supper Sunday, and we looked at God's anger being like a heat-seeking missile. Can anyone remember the heat-seeking missile? Yeah? And it wasn't a heat-seeking missile, though. It was like a disobedience-seeking missile. Our disobedience rightly makes God angry. It ruins our relationship with it. And it's very sad because every single person is like this. Everyone's deserving of God's anger. Everyone needs to be punished for their rebellion against him. Every single person is disobedient. Well, almost every single person. There is one person who actually never disobeyed God, and I'm going to tell you about him in a minute, but first of all, we're going to sing another song. So, EJ, I'll get you... I might take that off you to see. Now, as I said before the song, the sad fact of the matter is that all people have disobeyed God. Well, all people except for one person. There actually was one person, just one, who didn't. And I'm wondering, can anyone guess who that person might be? What about someone over there? Sarah? Jesus, that's exactly right. It's Jesus. He is the one person who always obeyed God. He never ever disobeyed. He always treated God the Father as his king. Now, some people actually think that that's a bit of a cheat, and that it might have been easy for Jesus to do that. Seems a little bit like cheating. After all, Jesus is fully God, isn't he? But we also have to remember that Jesus was fully man as well. In fact, in Hebrews 2:17, it says this: he had to be made like his brothers in every way. Jesus had to be like his brothers, that's us, in every way. Now that means that he could feel pain. It means that he got hungry. It means that he got angry. It means that he felt sad. And it also means that people could hurt his feelings, that he could feel left out, and that he could feel excluded and unloved. So he could feel all of those things, all of those same things that we feel, and yet not even once did he disobey. Didn't matter how much he felt these things, not one single time did he ever disobey God. In Hebrews 4:15 it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet is without sin." Never, ever, ever did he disobey. It's amazing, isn't it? He knew temptation just like we did. It wasn't easy for him. He had to struggle and fight, and yet despite being tempted in every single way, just like us, not even once did he disobey God. And you know what? Nowhere do we see this more clearly than on the cross. The cross is the ultimate picture of Christian obedience. Later on in Hebrews, it says, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Now, as we've seen already, Jesus never disobeyed God. So this doesn't mean that Jesus was disobedient and then had to learn how to stop that and then be obedient instead. No, we saw that he never once sinned. So it's not that he was disobedient and had to learn how to be obedient. Rather, what it means is that on the cross, he experienced what it was to obey God to the absolute extreme. That's what it means. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, it says that he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. When Jesus died, we see Christian obedience completely fulfilled. It's like when we look at the cross, we can see what perfect obedience looks like. If we look at us, we remember what EJ looked like standing up here with the blackness all around him and the disobedience. If that's disobedience, when we look at the cross, we can see perfect Christian obedience. Perfect. At the cross, we see a man that loved God so much, a man that so believed in and trusted God, a man that believed God must always be obeyed, so much so that even in the face of the worst suffering ever, he obeyed. Even then. Shocking, isn't it? But it's also spectacular. It's a spectacular, extreme picture of obedience. Well, that's something that we need to thank and praise God for. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to lead us in a little prayer now to do that, and then we're going to continue doing that with our next song, okay? So I'll pray and then we'll stand and sing again. Father, we want to thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, and just for, I guess, the staggering picture that the cross is of Christian obedience. It's hard for us to get our heads around it completely because we don't live in a culture that uses crucifixion. But it is amazing to see a man that could get hungry, that could feel pain, that could feel hurt, that could get angry, that could do all of those things, and yet who was willing to obey even in the face of the most extreme suffering ever known. That is a truly remarkable picture. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to think about that, help us to understand and to be amazed. It is so often we look at the cross and we kind of take it for granted and we forget just how radical and amazing the thing is that happened there. We're not so often blown away by that picture of perfect Christian obedience. And we pray just now as we sing this next song and as we think about Jesus dying on that cross in complete obedience to you, that you would just reawaken that amazement in us and help us to marvel at it afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, EJ, I need you back up again. Good. All right. So, if you think back to the first thing that we talked about, remember we saw that everyone has this terrible disobedience problem. Okay? All of us, before God, look like this. Okay? Where we're covered in disobedience, and it ruins our relationship with God. But then we saw that there was one person, the Lord Jesus, who never, ever, ever disobeyed God, one person who always perfectly obeyed him and who demonstrated this to the absolute extreme on the cross. Okay? But here's the amazing thing. Okay, this is the truly gobsmacking thing about Christianity. This is the thing that's just so unique about it and so different and so amazing and so wonderful. Too wonderful to be true, really, but it is, okay? The Bible teaches us that this perfect, wonderful obedience can actually become ours. Now, this is the amazing thing about the Christian faith that says that this perfect, wonderful obedience that Jesus won on the cross can actually become ours. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. Can you see that there? What it's saying is that somehow this perfect obedience won by Jesus can make the many righteous, look obedient. And this is the amazing thing. When you trust in Jesus, it's like he takes this perfect obedience and he actually covers you over with it. And I'm going to use the other cape to show you. If you think of the blackness as disobedience, it's almost as though Jesus takes all of his goodness, all of this perfect obedience, and actually, you turn around that way so everyone can see, actually takes it, and it's like he wraps you up in it. We'll better pull this off so we can stick it on. Not with a pin, don't worry. And just come forward so everyone can see. See, it's as though he actually takes all of his perfect obedience that he won on the cross, and it's like he covers you over with it, wraps you up in it, so that when you look at him now, what do you see? He sees this. He sees someone who looks perfect, pure, and obedient. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, that you can actually be covered with this perfect cross-shaped obedience, and it covers over all of your sin and all of your failings. And even though you might fail in some way every day, when God looks at you, he doesn't see that. He sees the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ. But as if that's not good enough, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. You see, God doesn't just cover us with Jesus' obedience and leave it at that. He actually slowly, slowly, slowly starts to change us. Colossians chapter 3 verse 10 tells us that we're being renewed in the image of our Creator. Romans 8 tells us that we are being conformed into the likeness of God's Son. God's Holy Spirit is actually at work in people, and slowly, slowly he's making them disobey less and less and less, and he's making them obey more and more and more until one day, when Jesus comes back, all of our disobedience will be gone. You'll never disobey God again. And this perfect obedience of Jesus, it's not going to just cover you. It'll actually be you. It'll actually be you. Imagine that, one day, living a life that's exactly like Jesus. Perfect like him. Never disobeying God again. Just wonderful, isn't it? And what we need to do now is we just need to spend some time reflecting on that and thinking that through and just letting all of that sink in. And we're going to do that in a few ways. We're going to sing again first, but then we're actually going to take the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is a very important gift because the thing is, even though we've reflected on this, and this probably isn't the first time you've heard this sort of thing. If you've been a Christian for a while, you would have heard this before. It's amazing stuff, but the thing is, sometimes we so struggle to believe it, don't we? Yeah, we struggle to believe it. Sometimes we doubt it. You know, when we're feeling weak, when we're failing, it's very hard for us at times to believe that God looks at us with this perfect obedience of Jesus. It's hard to believe that when things are going badly for you and when you're failing. It's hard to believe. But that's part of the reason Jesus has given us the Lord's Supper. He actually gave it to us so that to strengthen our faith. He gave it to us to assure us and help us to believe that the cross is real. You see, just as surely as you'll feel this bread and taste it, and just as surely it's there, so too, yeah, I'll just take that. So too, is this perfect obedience of Jesus real? Just as surely as that's real, so too is this. And just as surely as you drink that juice and feel that going into you and you know that that's there, so too do you know that Jesus is at work in your life, growing you in your obedience to God and changing you. And just as surely as all of that's there, so too one day will you stand before him when Jesus returns as perfect, never to disobey again. So we're going to spend some time reflecting on all that. So I'll ask you to stand. We'll sing. And then I'll get some of the elders to come up and help me hand out the bread and the juice.